tempted, when you can, take your Bible in your hand, the book of Mark, chapter number 2. As I've already stated, it's a very, thank you, Nora, very familiar portion of Scripture. The Bible reminds us that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and a little while. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know how this is going to come out. It's going to come out as the way the Lord lays it on my heart as it comes out. When you begin to read this text, starting in verse number 13 of Mark 2, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. Now in your mind, I want you to begin to paint a picture. Here they go, they're going by the seaside, and no doubt the people were thronging him, around him, near him, for the purpose and the reason that they wanted to know what Jesus had to say. Wouldn't it be interesting today if all of us today in this room and anyone that might be watching online, we get back to the place that we followed Jesus so close that we couldn't let him go. That we would follow him so close that we could hear his voice. For the Bible said that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. As the people were gathered together there, we see in our text in the next verse, as Jesus taught them there in verse 14, and as he passed by, they saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. Now, I don't mean anything facetious about this. I don't mean anything ugly by this next statement. It's going to sound a little bit quirky, if you will, but I think it's a miracle anytime you get a tax collector to follow Jesus. Levi, he was a tax collector. And all of us in this room, we all got them little statements here long ago, didn't we? And we think about it and we cringe every time we look at it. And we wonder, well, whose fault is this? Maybe they all looked at Levi that day and said, who, him? But the Bible said that when Jesus called him, he said, follow me. He had no excuse. Our world is filled with excuses today why we cannot follow Jesus. But I believe today if we're really going to get what God wants for us and what God's got for us. Somebody even in this room today, you may need to make up your mind that the excuses are over today. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The excuses are over. I just hit a nerve right there because that spoke directly to somebody's heart. You've offered every, and I'm telling you folks, I'm just preaching under the unction this morning. I woke up with this burning in my heart. You've offered God every kind of excuse and every reason why you have not surrendered your life to God and why you cannot give your life to God. Everything else comes before God. But God is just simply saying this, and God's not going to scold you. Listen. But God says this to your heart today, and I know He's speaking to you. Until you give it all to me, God's speaking, until you give it all to Him, you'll never get what I've got for you. I could run. You'll never get what I've got for you until you quit the excuses, until you give up on the excuses. Now that was free. I didn't study that part. That didn't cost you nothing. Now, when we look at this, we see this in the scripture. When he was there, and he arose and followed him. To me, I believe that it was far more than curiosity. I believe it was far more than coming to church than just curiosity. Well, let's see what Jesus is going to do today when we show up at church. Well, I believe it was more than just mere curiosity that drove Levi, Matthew, to follow Jesus. I believe that when Jesus' word spoke, "Follow me," I believe there was an artesian. I think there was a well of living water springing up inside of him that led to eternal life. I believe there was something in the words of Jesus that spoke to the inner core of who he really was. Jesus only said two words: "Follow me." What would it be today if the sleeping saints and the sipping saints would even get their eyes back on Jesus again, to the point that where Jesus has only got to say, "Follow me." And we will get to that place that we did what Levi did and said, the Bible says, as you look at this next verse, and he says this, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat, many publicans and sinners sat together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. Two classes of people there that follow him. Those that want to follow him for the simple curiosity, and those that follow him because they want to know him. In this room, there's two classes of people, not only saved and unsaved, but yet two classes of people. Those that come merely out of curiosity. Let's just see what Jesus is going to do today. Let's just kind of go to church because I can check it off my box, or I can go and say that I went. And the other classification of people are those that are really desperate people. Those are the ones we're going to talk to today. Those people that they know if they don't get a touch from God, those that know, hey, I can no longer exist if I don't have the touch of God on my life. I believe that Levi had seen it all and tried it all. I believe that he had got to the place in his life that he was an absolute misery-filled person. Now, I don't see that in the scripture, but I believe it in my heart today. Because you're not going to change until you get to that place in your life that you've tried everything else. And you finally think to yourself, if I don't give my heart to God, and if I don't give my heart to Jesus, I may not make it to heaven, or I may not make it through this life. The Bible said they followed him. Next verse, verse number 16 says, and when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto the disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? If Jesus was really who Jesus said he was, he would know for a fact by the law that he is not even supposed to be in proximity of them. Now, in my little finite mind, as Chris uses that word this morning, in my little itty-bitty, teensy-weensy mind today, I can only think to myself how that you and I have a tendency to categorize and classify those that can come to Jesus and those that can't come to Jesus. I believe that was the situation there that day. I believe there were some lookers and gazers in the crowd that day. And I believe they were saying, well, what are they doing here? Who do they think they are? Oh, I'm going to get ugly. I'm going to get real ugly right here. This is our church. We worked, we paid for it, and it's ours. We don't want people like that in here. Come on, somebody. Help me preach today. Help me say the word of God today. If that is your attitude, I'm looking at the wall. Shame on you. I can only imagine the Pharisaical attitude that day of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the other eases that was there that day. Oh, y'all didn't like that statement, did you? I got to be careful. Say it or be careful. Okay, say it. Jesus warned them. Jesus called them, the Pharisees, snakes and vipers. That's what he associated them. Jesus even said, hey, I'm going to send you forth as a sheep among the wolves. Now get this picture in your mind. A whole pasture full of wolves and one little sheep walking through the middle of it. That's what Jesus said. We often think about a whole great big pasture full of sheep and one little wolf. No, it's the other way around. Now that's the dramatic of the text. That's the dramatic of my mind looking at that text. And Jesus, knowing that he was sitting there in the middle of those people that just as soon spit on him or hang him, if you will, or crucify him as to look at him. But I love Jesus because of the fact that Jesus said in verse 17, Jesus was so wise. He was so cool. Because he says there in verse number 17, and Jesus had good ears because he said, and when he heard it, he heard them while they're whispering and he heard all their chatter in the background. And when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, watch this. They that are whole need not a physician. We need the great physician. And then we see this in his text in 17, and he said, and when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. They that are sick. Now this is the message. But they that are sick. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. When I began to think about what God was laying on my heart today, I thought about our world today is so filled with disease. I think about the word disease and you break it apart and it's dis-ease. Our world today is so filled with dis-ease. When I began to think about this, I thought about how that our world has came through and still very present COVID. And all of us know that. And we think about how that now on the television, they're always saying today that monkeypox. And already out in California, from my listening to a quick brief statement the other day, said that it's already a very bad health threat in that area of the United States. When we think about what God was saying, even in this text today, Jesus, when Jesus said, they that are sick, I came to heal them. I wondered in my own mind today how many, and please don't get mad at the preacher when I preach it the way I got to say it, but I wonder how many sick people there is in this room. Now, I'm not saying you got monkeypox, and I'm not saying you got COVID. That's not the point of my sermon. But I wonder today how many people are emotionally sick. I wonder how many people today are emotionally and how our nerves is out of whack, or how our mind is out of whack, and how that all kinds of things in our lives seem to be going, if I can use the word haywire. I don't even know if that's a word. I've heard it before. But you know, we think about this and we think about what the scripture teaches you and I in the day and the hour that we're living in. Mental conditions are on the rise. Emotional issues are on the rise. We see even in the scripture of how that in Matthew, and I'm going to turn there, Matthew chapter 24. Now pay attention here. When we begin to look at this in Matthew 24, this is what we begin to see. We see this in the text. And again, I'm not going to take the time to read all of it. You can read it for yourself. But you start reading there in Matthew 24 and verse number 3, if you will. And you see this in the Word, if I can finally turn there. And he sat at the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately. Watch this. Tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. First of all, this is not the message of the hour, but there's going to be a deception fill the land. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Others basically coming and telling you that Jesus is nothing more than a figment of the imagination, and that it is out of date, it's antiquated, and no longer necessary to have Jesus Christ as a central figure of Christianity. People are sick. Jesus warning that these are the things that are going to be happening. Verse number 6 says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. All you got to do is turn the TV on, whether it be Russia or Ukraine, or whether it be all these other places, that's the uneasiness, that's dis-ease that's in our land today. And these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse number 7 says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be, watch this, there shall be famines. Now, I want you to think about something. I didn't study that, but I want you to think about it. I don't know. Somebody could tell me later. I think there's probably, and somebody will Google it, but don't Google it right now while I'm talking, please. But I think there's like 8 billion people or more on the earth. I don't have no idea. But you think about something for a minute. The earth, the yielding of her fruit, the yielding of the vine, the food sources that you and I have, we all probably got food in our house, most likely. We can go right now and get it, most likely. But think about this. Think about how this earth has to feed 8, let's say billion, it may be more or less, 8 billion people on the earth every single day. You think toilet paper is an issue? You wait till a few crops fail. You wait till the shelves are empty in the grocery stores. Disease, famine, pestilence. Diseases comes from that word pestilence right there. Earthquakes in diverse places. When we think about these verses, we look around today and we see all the trouble that is in our land. And don't tell me today, sitting in this room, that there's not people that are troubled in your mind and troubled in your heart and troubled in your life because of everything that is going on in our world today. But I just come by long enough to tell you, hey, my friend, there is good news in the making. Amen. We do not have to be wrapped up in all the trouble of the world, because Jesus said in the Word of God that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. If there's ever been a time that you and I need Jesus, my friend, it is the day and the hour that we are living in. I don't know about you, but He is my daily sustenance. Every day I breathe, I've got to have the touch of God on my life. I don't know how you come into this room today, but I do know this one thing. You don't have to leave like you came. Somebody give God a praise. Let the great physician give you a touch today. Let Him come by and touch you. I began to think about this. these few scriptures that I might want to read to you in the Old Testament. I'm not going to take the time to read it all, but Isaiah chapter number 53, verse number 5, is a prophecy about what Jesus would come to do when Jesus came. When you look at that verse in Isaiah 53 and 5, this is what it says. It just simply tells you and I that He was wounded. He was wounded. Whether it be the beard from his face or the sword in his side. Whether it be the cat o' nine tails that he took upon his back or whatever the case might have been. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Your transgressions can be healed today. He was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquities is crookedness, wickedness. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. He bore stripes upon His back for your peace today. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm just simply saying if you came in here, you don't have no peace in your heart today. I come to tell you if you'll give your heart to God, if you'll surrender your life to God, if you'll walk the way God tells you to walk according to the Word of God, I'm telling you He'll give you peace that passeth all understanding. You'll have so much peace in your heart, you'll be even asking yourself, you know what, I got all this going on around me. There's wars and famines and diseases and pestilence. But great God, I've got peace because I know the peace speaker this morning. That's what I'm talking about. The great physician, the healer that's in the house today, He can touch you. He can touch you today. I know that there's physical things in this building, and I'll get there in a few minutes. But my friend, I think about God today and how that somebody might have came in this room today. You're saying to yourself right now, Pastor Green, I used to have real peace in my life, but somewhere along the way, all my troubles have gotten the best of me. Oh, Pastor, if I could just have that peace one more time. Oh, my friend, can I come by your way long enough to tell you if you'll put your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the waters, I believe today that God Himself can give you peace like a river, hallelujah, in your life today. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to His name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. When I began to think about this verse, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. This is the part that sometimes troubles my mind. Let me say it like this. Sometimes we don't recognize everything that God has done for us. Could you imagine what a miserable mess you would be in today if God was not going in front of you? And if God was not guiding what was in front of you? Don and Joan, a couple of weeks ago, almost in a total horrible car wreck, worked it out. They didn't kill them. They didn't have the wreck. And my point is, those of you that think you're falling apart right now, I just wonder what God has done in front of us that we don't even know. And I know what the Bible says, that God will say that the angels would encamp around about them. I don't know if I've ever scared mercy and goodness to death or not, but I'll tell you what, my friend, He's kept us safe on the journey. With His stripes, we are healed. Now that's the thing that got me to this message today. Because if He's the great physician, why? Now somebody says, and again, this thing could explode on me right here. This thing could explode on me. Because I know that life in itself, the natural courses of life, I understand it's been appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. I understand that process, and I'll get to a little bit of that either tonight or tomorrow, next week, whenever I get there. But I'm thinking today in my own mind, healing. Now, I know there's eternal healing. I know that when we leave this body, that's the ultimate healing. But what about us even now when it's not time for us to go into eternity? But yet, on the flip side of it, we look and we see how many people are in this room today, and how many people are suffering, and how many people have emotional challenges, psychological problems, and all kinds of issues that come to the surface. And I'm telling you what, friend, I believe this with everything within me, that there's a healer in the house. I believe the great physician is here today. I don't want to wear you out. I've got a two-hour message in 15 more minutes. I'll close. But here's the thing we see. 1 Peter, we look at 1 Peter, and this is in the New Testament context. When you look in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 24, I love this when Peter was writing this. In verse 24, it starts like this. He says, Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, live unto righteousness, with whose stripes, past tense, were healed. It's talking about sins and trespasses, and we should live under righteousness, and we're healed. When we think about that scripture, we think about the next verse before I go on. We think about verse 25. And seeing, and for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. He's the one that oversees our souls. But we think about these verses today. We think about Jesus today. We think about Jesus sitting there in our text. And all those that was there, and what Jesus was actually saying, that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I think about us. I think about our world. I think about the traumatic impact that a disease has made on our world today. And if there's ever been a day and an hour that we need God, we need Him more now. We need Jesus. And whether you're sitting there or listening to me, and if you don't think you need Jesus, my friend, you need a checkup from the neck up, amen, because you need Jesus today. You might have been saved for 38 years, but you still need Jesus. You might have got saved last week, but you still need Jesus. You may not be saved in this room today, but honey, I'm going to tell you something. You still need Jesus. Jesus encountered all kinds of situations. This is one of the ones that the Lord laid up on my heart, is in the book of Mark, chapter number 9. When you begin to look at this verse, it's extreme. It is an extreme situation. When you begin to look in verse number 14, I believe it is. Again, when the Bible says, and when he came to his disciples, they saw great multitudes about them, the scribes again questioning with them. Commentary talked about trying to shake their faith. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, was greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they should cast him out, and they could not." Now, I don't know how that's hitting you today. Now, I know I don't want to take anything out of context, so I'm going to read the rest of that in a minute. But again, paint the picture in your mind today. As Jesus was there, the disciples had already had an encounter with this man, the man and the young boy. And all you could see is this young man in this horrible condition, that he was tearing himself, ripping his clothes, no doubt, gnashing with his teeth, gritting his teeth and foaming at the mouth. That's not a pretty picture on a Sunday morning, is it? Horrible picture of what Jesus encountered in his day. You think, well, if Jesus was here now, what would he do? Because we have extreme situations in our society today that maybe Jesus never encountered. He encountered this. He's seen this. He's seen the condition of this young man. Took him to the disciples, and the disciples said, whoa, hey, hi, ho, wait a minute. What do we do with this? See, to me, again, in my mind as I process this, I think that's where the church is. Because we don't know what to do with today's problems. Jesus knew what to do. The disciples like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how many times as a pastor I have felt that way. Totally, absolute helpless. With somebody in front of me, Tammy, that I did not know how to help. We feel strapped. And if we're not very careful, there'll be this. So, this whole thing of faithlessness settle in on us. To where it almost just totally robs us of our faith and strips our faith away. And if we're not real careful in our world today, there's this sense of hopelessness that's trying to settle in over our land. If there was anything to hope in, I would put my hope in it. But may I remind you and I today, we've got to get our hope one more time back on Jesus. If those disciples would have been able to do this, the people would have been running to the disciples rather than running to Jesus. And I believe it's the same thing today. I'm not going to call names, but they've filled arenas and run people all over the United States of America just waiting on somebody to put a little dipsy-doo on your forehead and pray for you just because of what man can do. At times in my life, I've watched things. I've been maybe on the edge of getting caught up in a fad with people years ago and different things years ago. But I've come to the place, Brother Bobby, in my life, if Jesus don't do it, it's not going to get done. He will not share His glory with man. The Bible says in John 12 and 32, if I'm not mistaken, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this, that I believe that it's time that we get our minds and our eyes off the superstars and get our mind and our eyes back upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we let Jesus Christ reign in the church one more time, my friend, and let Him be glorified. My friend, I believe that's what was happening right here in this text. It was an extreme situation. And then we see again where Jesus again confronted them in verse 19. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Oh my God, that is where God spoke to my heart about this message today. If we can just get people one more time in the altar. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If we can just get people one more time to the point and to the place of conversion, get them back to the point of their life turning and changing, my friend, I believe we can take this city, and I believe that we'll see people by the groves, if you will. But again, that's challenging because what are you going to do with them when they come? Are we prepared for them when they come? We are if we keep on pointing them to Jesus. Now, don't get mad at the preachers too early in the service. I told you it's a two-hour service. I'm about 30 minutes in right now. Psychology is not going to do it. Sitting down and talking to the preacher at his desk is not going to do it. But you got to get people to Jesus. If there had ever been a day and an hour and a time that we've got to get people back to Jesus, my friend, And that's a whole other part of the thought, either tonight as I wrote out or this morning. Here's the thing, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But we've got to get back to the point that we talk about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Can I tell you, Jesus, so many people say Jesus as a byword, as a slang word. It's just something that rolls off of their tongue without even thinking about what they're saying. Glory to God. But we've got to get back to the place that we talk about Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately, his ankle bones received strength. It wasn't in the name of Buddha, as Brother Charles or somebody else said here the other day, or some other name. It's time that we start using the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth again. We got to keep pointing them to Jesus. Then he says in this next verse, 20, I got to hurry. I'm not even going to get a third of this done. And in this verse, the next thing we see in 20, the Bible says, and they brought him to him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground, wallowing foam, that evil spirit that possessed that young man. Now again, that's a little bit of what a lot of people may not even want to talk about today. Are y'all awake? You're possessed by something? Either you're possessed by the Holy Spirit or you're possessed by a demon spirit. Woo! I don't like that, preacher. No man can serve two masters. Either he's going to love the one and hate the other. I mean, it's either or. Quiet this good house this morning. Wallowing, foaming. What a horrible condition. Someone in this room, you've been wallowing in your mire long enough. And you need to let the great physician touch you. And I believe that when he does, you're going to come back and you're going to tell me what he did for you. I know it's 5 minutes to 12 o'clock. I know that. But if you'll just give me just a few more minutes, I've got to land this plane somewhere. Because that was point number one that I got to right there with that one. Verse 21, the Bible says here, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, Brother Chris, listen to this, of a child. Are y'all awake? I've heard it said over and over, even by state youth directors and people that I've served with and been around. Are you ready for this? Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a rough ride here for a minute. But it's been said. I don't know if it's been proven, but it's been said, Chris. If a church is going to invest the money in children's ministry, not even youth ministry, but raise them up as a child. By the time children get 15, 16, 17, 18 year old, they've already formulated their whole concepts. And I'm not talking about just indoctrination. I'm just not talking about that in of itself. But even as a child, Paul was telling Timothy, you knew the doctrine. You need to know what you believe. And of a child, this kid was like this from a child. Devil possessed, eat up of Satan from a child. And if there's anything we need to do, Thomasville, we need to figure out how to invest in the next generation. Well, it's going to take our money. It ain't your money. It's God's money. This is not in the text. It's free. It's not your money. It's God's money. Once you release that money into the kingdom of God, then it's the steward's responsibility to be good stewards of what they have in the storehouse. And I promise you, I'm trying my best to be a good steward of our funds and what we have in our assets. But one of the things we need, folks, we need to figure out how to win children. It would be okay with me if we have a children's altar service week in and week out, and we see children saved and born again. Next verse, and I'll be done. Is there another verse? And oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion. Have compassion. That's point number one this morning. Have compassion. See, that's a whole different message out of Matthew 14, where that Jesus looked upon all the people and Jesus saw all the people. The disciples said, send them away. Send them to their own villages. Send them away. And Jesus set them down in groups of 50s and 100s and broke bread, gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the people. Notice how Jesus supplied and he put it in the disciples' hands, and the disciples had to use what was in their hands to feed the people. We got to have compassion on those. Jesus said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And then he said, and help us. Look at this. Look at this verse here in 22 and 23 going forward. And Jesus said unto them, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you believe today that God can touch you? Do you believe today that God can take your little and make much out of it? Do you believe that God can transform you from where you're at right now to what he wants you to become? I believe that. I believe that with everything within me. Some may be in this room and you might be saying, preacher, I'm just fine the way I am. I am handy dandy. I am good to go. You're cold in your heart. You've not had the touch of God on your heart. You've not had a praise on your lips for 3 years now. God says, if you'll open up your mouth one more time, as the psalmist says, I will fill it. And he's not talking about the dentist office either. I seen that on a dentist office one time as a kid. So, preacher, I'm pretty happy the way I am. The only thing I can tell you today is we need a touch from heaven. Over every person in this room, we need a touch of heaven on our lives. Verse 24, look at this. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, and this is where I believe we're at this morning, Lord, I believe. I don't believe it was a monotone. I don't believe it was a little quiet little something. I believe there was a sound of desperation in that father's voice. I know without shadow of a doubt in my own mind that that man was at the point of desperation with his son. That the point that he said, oh God, I believe. I believe, Lord, I believe. I mean, it was a cry of desperation to Jesus. I guess I'm a little dramatic today. I don't know. But if you ever get to that place, you know without shadow of a doubt, God, if you don't touch me, oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I believe there's people in this room like that. Oh, I didn't get nowhere near into other stuff I had looked at and studied and prepared. But regardless of how far I got, That don't even make no difference. Serious question. Serious question. Let me read the rest of this. And he says, "Help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee." You foul spirit, you deaf spirit. Jesus spoke to that demon. He spoke to that spirit that had destroyed that boy's life. What is it in your life that's destroying you? What is it today that's eating you up every single day, that's keeping you from your destiny? It's keeping you from being everything that you know God wants you to be. Every time you take one step forward, it seems like you fall backwards three or four. Can I tell you today what God is saying to you is to get up. When you sit down and when you quit, it's a guaranteed defeat. But God says you get up. I'll say it the way I feel it, the way I hear it in my mind. You quit wallowing in your mire of defeat. You get up on your feet one more time. You put your hands up in the air. You open up your mouth and you declare Jesus Christ to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords over your life. Quit accepting defeat. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Lift up these gates, these everlasting gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him. Again, when you look at this in verse 25, as you stand with me, and the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, so much that many said, "He is dead." Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Jesus took him by the hand. I know that I might be a little bit dramatic today, but I want you to reach your hand out just like you're putting it in the hand of Jesus. That's the only way I can see it today. As you look at this text again, when you see it, Jesus there in the scripture, he said he just reached his hand out and he took him by the hand. Let Jesus touch you today. Let him touch you today. You came in one way, but you can leave another way. You came in one way, but you can leave another way. Bible said he lifted him up. He lifted him up. He lifted him up. Let him lift you up today. I'm going to sing this song. You can sing it with me. But if you feel compelled to come, this is the way God told me to do it. If you feel compelled today to come for your healing, when you step out of that pew, you're stepping into the presence of God. And all things that are in his presence shall live. Step out. I may or may not lay hands on folks. I don't know how God leads me. But come now. Come now. Let God heal you. Let God touch you. We'll pray over everybody in just a minute. Come on, church. When you come, you raise up your hands. You cry out to him in your desperation, in your need of healing, in your need of peace, in your need of what you need God to do. Everybody's different. Everybody's got a different need today. But he's the great physician. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let him touch you today, church. Open up your mouth today and say, "God, here I am." Give yourself to him. Lay yourself before him today. Lay yourself before this altar today. Hallelujah. Shackled by a heavy burden.
the load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Oh, everybody, if you can, not those praying, but in the back, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Come on and praise Him, church in the house. Oh, since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. Come on, church, claim your victory. I'll praise Him while eternity rolls. Oh, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. Yes, He did. That floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and He made me whole. I was shackled by a heavy burden. Somebody find somebody to pray with. Lay your hands on them and pray over them. Lay your hands on them and pray over them. Come and find somebody just to lay your hand on and pray for them. You don't have to get in their face. Just lay your hand on them. Glory to God in the room. The glory's coming. Hallelujah. The glory's in the room today, church. Hallelujah to the Lord. The great physician is here right now. He's walking up and down these aisles and across this front. He's touching men and women, boys and girls. You young people can come. You young ladies can come. You can give your heart to God. Give your life to God. Surrender your life to Him. Oh, yes, He did. Oh, yes, He did. Something happened, and now I know me, and He made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, and now I know He touched me and He made me whole. Stretch your hands and we're going to pray over these folks.
Hallelujah. 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 Come on and raise those hands. There's still people needing a miracle in this room today. Stretch your hands toward this altar. Intercede. Be an intercessor. Pray for Brother Will. Pray for Percy today. Brother Steve.
Charles, come up here real fast. Brother West, amen. Brother West preached on Wednesday night. I want him to dismiss us in a word of prayer this morning. Amen.
Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, as I approach your throne, I thank you so much, Lord, for this time we've had in your presence. I thank you for your word that we've heard. I pray, Father, we'll all take your word, embed into our hearts, apply it to our lives, and live, Father, lives that's pleasing in your sight. Go home with us, Father. Keep us this day and all that's here this morning. I pray you'll bring us back tonight, expecting a greater blessing than what we received this morning. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.